Good morning, everyone. Good to see each one of you this morning. Great to be here. My name is Dale, as already been mentioned. I've been coming here with my wife for about 7 years since I retired. And I want to thank you for the privilege and the opportunity I have this morning just to be with you and to share this morning. I would like to share from a very well-known text, a text that very common. It's familiar, but it also talks about the hope for the world. And so I would invite you, if you have your Bible or you have a Bible app, to open it up and follow along with me as I read this passage. We're introduced to a fellow named Nicodemus in this passage as we go through it. It's a fairly long passage. It's John 3, 1 through 17, that I believe talks about hope for the world. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." You know, as we move into this season of campaigns and candidates and things like that, that it's going to get worse as the season goes on, I think. But one of the themes that I've heard in the past, and I think we'll hear more often, is this theme of fear. Bringing out, oh, you've got to fear this, or you've got to fear that. And fear can be very debilitating. And as I was thinking about fear, I remembered the situation just a few months back where a young man went to the wrong door and was shot. Or the teens turning around in a driveway and were shot at from a deck. I think it was fear that motivated that response. And then I thought about a verse in 1 John 4:18. Which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." And then we come to this passage we looked at already. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." This is a message of hope for the world. I believe that we are called to be world Christians and to share this hope with the world around us. Let's look at this message for a moment. In the passage, we're introduced to the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a leader. He was a Pharisee, meaning that he knew the scriptures. He was well instructed in the scriptures. He was a member, we learn elsewhere that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was a 70-member ruling body in Jerusalem. And he comes by night, it says, or in the evening. Now, some would say he comes out of fear because he's coming in secret to ask about Jesus. Others might say that this was the normal time when these religious leaders would be studying, and so they come out to ask the questions of Jesus at that point in time. I'm thinking maybe it's more of a theme that John has. John has this theme of light. And so in a sense, Nicodemus is coming out of darkness, coming to the light. And he comes and he says, he's very positive as he approaches here, and he says, we know that you, what you are doing is from God. And then Jesus jumps, as he often does, jumps right to the main point, skips the formalities, and simply says, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Or more specifically, born anew. And Nicodemus responds, how can I, an old man, you know, be born again? How can I re-enter my mother's womb? What are you talking about, Jesus? Jesus says that entry into the kingdom of God is not just through a physical birth, but there's also a spiritual birth. And a little later, he has this play on words. Because the word for wind and the word for spirit in both Hebrew and Greek is the same word. And so he's talking about the wind and the spirit. And he, just like we can see the wind, we can't really put a handle, we don't fully understand what the wind is. We can't really get it, but we can see the effect of the wind. So it is with the Spirit. We may not fully understand what the Spirit is doing or how He moves, but we can see the effect in our lives. We can see the effect. The Spirit works to bring about a new birth. Now, it's important to recognize here in this text that Jesus is using all the way through here the plural you. Now, in English, we only have one you. So when I say you, you don't know if I'm talking to you individually or you, all of you. But in Greek, as in many other languages, there's both a singular and a plural you. And here he's using the plural you. And so he's including, not only as he speaks here, he's not only talking to Nicodemus, he's talking to perhaps the disciples that are with him, perhaps the other listeners there. Perhaps even us, as we gather here today as observers of this text, speaking to us, saying, you must be born anew. There is a spiritual birth. And so we come like Nicodemus and we say, what's this all about, Jesus? I grew up in a Lutheran church. And as we're approaching a time of confirmation, I don't know if you understand that confirmation. It's a time in the church where you confirm your faith. It's a period of instruction. And I was getting ready for the confirmation to confirm my faith. I was about 14 years old. And in the class one day, the pastor said that he would have more respect for someone who would back out than someone who would go ahead and be confirmed under false pretexts. And that made me stop and think. You know, that was... I began to listen very carefully. I thought seriously about not being confirmed. I listened very carefully to what we respond to. We were supposed to respond to the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I'd always said that and always felt that I believed that, so I went ahead and was confirmed, yet I still felt that somehow I needed to get right with God. I remember in high school thinking, well, maybe someday I'll marry a good Christian woman, and she'll help get me right with God. The summer, August between following my senior year in high school and my freshman year in college, I went with our church youth group to a camp in South Dakota, actually in the Black Hills, just outside of Custer. And the last night of that camp, they led us by torchlight to the top of a hill. And on the hill was a cross, and on that cross was one of the male counselors hanging there like Christ on the cross. And someone said, all this he did for you, what are you going to do about it? And at that moment, I recognized that there was a need for a response on my part. And I said yes to Christ. And I knew something had happened, but I didn't know exactly what had happened. And so I went back home, and a couple weeks later, I started college. Now, the first day on campus, in my dorm, I had met one other fellow besides my roommate. And I walked down the hall in the dorm to ask this fellow a question. And as I walked into his room, there's another fellow in there inviting him to join a Bible study, and that fellow invited me to join a Bible study as well. My friend didn't go, but I went, and in the course of that study, I learned how we are separated from God because of our sin, and how Jesus Christ had bridged the gap to bring us into a relationship with God. And how, I think it's the verse, is Revelation 3:20 that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." And I recognized that back in South Dakota, my yes was really a response to open my heart to invite Jesus into my life. Now, the passage here continues. There's a reference to where the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. And there were poisonous snakes that they came upon, and these snakes would bite them and the people would die. And Moses was instructed by God to make this bronze snake and put it up on a pole, and so that when the people were bitten, they could look at that pole and they would not die. And the paragraph concludes, "So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Spiritual birth happens when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When we trust the fact that he died upon the cross and rose again, that we might have life in him and a relationship with him. That's when spiritual birth happens. As the passage says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And that's a powerful message of hope that we have for our world, to share with our world, that we're invited into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think that we can get a little bit off message sometimes. You know, forgetting that the message is really about a relationship with Jesus that gives life. When you hear about eternal life, when you hear the word eternal life, what do you think about? Think about heaven? You think about sometime in the future? You know, there is a risk that when we start thinking it's in the future, I don't have to think about it today, that we forget that about today. Yet, what is the very definition of eternal life? What is the definition of eternity? Doesn't eternity begin today? As a follower of Jesus Christ, I am living in eternity today. And I have an opportunity to walk in that relationship with Jesus Christ today. Sometimes, too, we get distracted thinking, as a believer, that I've got to be perfect, that I've got to have it all together, that I've got to follow all the do's and don'ts that might be out there. We get focused on those things. And I'm reminded of a conversation I had once many years ago with a couple people. We were sitting down and I shared with them an illustration called the bridge illustration that talks about, just like I said before, how we are separated from God because of sin and how Jesus Christ has bridged that gap. And then we can have a relationship with him. And at the end, I was inviting them to join me in prayer. Would you like to pray to receive Christ? And one of the fellows said that he wasn't really sure. This is the first time that he'd heard that. And he wasn't sure that he was ready to respond. But the other fellow, who had seemed to follow me all the way through and knew exactly what I was saying, turned to me and said, "Dale, I'm going to go back to, because of what you said, I'm going to go back to the church. I was very active in church. In fact, I lived next door to the church." But then he said something very powerful. "But I left the church because the world was so attractive." And I wonder if sometimes we miss the relationship idea that Jesus has for us and get caught up in the do's and don'ts. And when we get caught up in the do's and don'ts, we begin to wonder, what am I missing? What's out there? And yet the truth of this is Jesus invites us to a relationship, to walk with him and live in relationship with him. And I believe that as we step into that relationship, he will guide us into all that he has for us, the great adventure that he has for us. Jesus did not come to condemn us, He came that we might be saved, that we might have life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. God, I believe, invites all of us to be world Christians. Are you aware in this verse that you can put your name there? That you can put your name in this verse? I can put my name in it. For God so loved Dale that he gave his only Son so that if Dale believes in him, Dale will not perish, but Dale will have eternal life. You can put your name in there, right? What's it sound like? Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? It's for each of us. Pardon?
Sounds like love.
Sounds like love. For each of us, all of us. Yes. But you know what the verse does say? For God so loved the world. God's vision is 8 billion strong. We have a message of hope for the world. When I was in college a couple years ago, the last century, I was at a Christian training event, and I was talking with a friend in his room, and he said that my vision, I'm going to win the world to Jesus Christ. And he turned to me and said, what part of the world do you want, Dale? And I said, a nice South Pacific island would be great. There was a world map on the wall in his room, and he jumped up and he pointed to an island. I've been assigned the island of here too. I have since done a little bit of research. Here too is an uninhabited atoll in French Polynesia. It's about 80 miles from its nearest neighbor. I believe you need special permission from the French Polynesian government to go there, plus a private boat. Last April, on April 8th, I set foot in Bora Bora. April 9th, I set foot in Moorea. April 10th, I set foot in Tahiti. Three significant islands in French Polynesia. Some 52 years after being assigned an island in French Polynesia, I set foot in French Polynesia. God is good. God is good. I think it was that vision, though, that led my wife and I to be missionaries to Ecuador for 13 years. This Sunday morning, the Scottish Presbyterian Church in Adelaide has met, Adelaide, Australia has met for worship. Probably Pastor Munther Isaac has led worship in Christmas Lutheran Church. Church located about four blocks from Nativity Square, made from Manger Square, and the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. Probably a small group of believers also met this morning at the East Jerusalem Baptist Church. And maybe right now, Pastor Francisco San Lucas is leading worship at Cristo Victorioso Church in La Bota, a very poor community on the edge of Quito, Ecuador. The message is going forth. The message is going forth. Statistically, there are approximately 2.3 billion Christians in the world. But what about the other 6 billion? Get the words out here. Statistically, Palestine, Bethlehem would have the largest concentration of Christians in Palestine in the West Bank, but statistically, Palestine is about between 2 and 3% Christian. Israel has about 2.2% Christian. Ecuador is classified statistically as being about 95% Christian, yet I would venture to guess that on this particular morning, only about 15% have a real understanding maybe less than that, of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is a real need out there. Much of Europe, Canada, the U.S., Australia, has moved into a post-Christian place where Christianity seems to have lost its place, its relevance. And yet there's a spiritual hunger out there. People are looking for hope. There's a real need for people to hear that God loves them and desires to have a relationship with them. That there is hope in the midst of their struggles, their fears, their uncertainties. That they can know Him and walk with Him and have a relationship with God. I believe that God calls us, that Jesus calls us to be world Christians. To be people who seek to actively advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. To share the love of God's love and His salvation. To share with others that message of love, of hope, of life. So how do we respond? This morning I've been all over the map, I guess. There's the obvious response here for anyone here this morning who may not know Jesus. There's an invitation in there to respond, to come into a relationship with Him. And then in a little while, I'll be leading a little prayer that if that's your prayer, you can join me in praying to invite Christ into your life. For us who may have gotten sidetracked thinking it's about something future or it's about doing all the do's and don'ts and have forgotten for a moment, it's about the relationship with Jesus. And it's about the relationship that walks in this hope. We have a great hope to share with the world. And so I want to just suggest that we pick. I believe God calls me and invites us to be world Christians, and so I would like to share two possibilities. So you can choose one or two options to help us to become world Christians. You know, last Sunday, Pastor Scott shared that God is already at work doing great things in our world, and He invites us to come along and join Him. And I think that what's the truth. God is at work, but invites us to be part of what He's doing. But I think there's things that can do to help increase our vision, to see where God is at work. So I want to suggest two things and invite you to choose one or both of those things. The first thing, I want you to pray for what God is doing in the world. You may not know this, but Renew is part of the Evangelical Covenant Church. The Evangelical Covenant Church has missionaries and ministries throughout the world. And their Serve Globally arm has a website where you can go and you can sign up for a daily email to pray for missionaries, for ministries, for countries around the world. Each day you receive a couple of prayer requests to pray around the world as we pray for people to become followers of Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to suggest that you might want to choose, and I would like you to make a diagram, but I wanted you to pray for people you know. Put a circle on the paper. Take a piece of paper. Maybe you want to use a card in the back of the pews. I think it's there. But make a circle in the middle. Draw three spokes, and then a circle on each side of those spokes. In the middle, I would invite you to put your name. And on each of the spokes, put the names of people you know who do not know Jesus. And commit to pray for them each day. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. God loves you. God loves your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, the people of this city, the people of this state, this nation. God loves the whole world. And He invites us to enter into His love, to walk in relationship with His love, and to share His love with the world around us. Let us become world Christians. Let us pray that the good news might reach not only our city, but the entire world. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your great blessing to us. Thank you that we can walk in relationship with you. This morning, there's been a whole bunch of things thrown out here, but the most important is that you love us. And you love everyone. And your desire is that they all, everyone, might come into a relationship with you and walk with you. So, Lord, help us to be world Christians, to be people who would seek to walk with you and share with others this good news. I can't help but wonder if there's people here this morning who may not know you, who have never opened the door of their heart to say, Jesus, I need you. And so in the quietness of this moment, if it is their prayer, they might simply say, Jesus, I need you. I know that I cannot do it on my own. I invite you to come into my heart, into my life, to be my Savior, to walk with me. Help me to really know you and to grow in you. For I ask this in your name. And if somebody here prayed this prayer, Lord, I just pray that you would confirm to them that you have given them new birth, that you have worked in their hearts so that they might have a relationship with you. And we celebrate this relationship we have with you, Lord. We celebrate the life and the hope we have in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings, and thank you that you are at work in our whole wide world. Amen.